Chapter 26. At first, John Vogel treated the cornet as simply another restoration job. There was no rarity suggested by its design. There was nothing exceptional about its construction that would excite a collector. At the moment, it could excite nobody. The valves were corroded and frozen closed. The brass was discolored by an odd sort of accumulated grime, and a foul, fish-like odor emanated from the mud that clogged the interior of its tubes. Vogel decided the cornet was beneath him. He would turn it over to one of his assistants for the restoration. The exotics, those were the instruments that Vogel loved to bring back to their original newness. The ancient Chinese and Roman trumpets, with the long, straight tubes and the ear-piercing tones. The battered old horns of the early jazz greats. The instruments with a piece of history attached. These Vogel would repair with the patience of a watchmaker, toiling with exacting craftsmanship until the piece gleamed like new and played brilliantly clear tones. He wrapped the cornet in an old pillowcase and set it against the far wall of his office. The executone on his desk uttered a soft bong. "Yes, Mary, what is it?" "Admiral James Sendecker of the National Underwater and Marine Agency is on the phone." His secretary's voice scratched over the intercom like fingernails over a blackboard. "He says it's urgent." "Okay, put him on." Vogel lifted the telephone. "John Vogel here." "Mr. Vogel, this is James Sendecker." The fact that Sendecker had dialed his own call and didn't bluster behind his title impressed Vogel. "Yes, Admiral, what can I do for you?" "Have you received it yet?" "Have I received what?" "An old bugle." "Ah, the cornet," Vogel said. "I found it on my desk this morning with no explanation. I assumed it was a donation to the museum." "My apologies, Mr. Vogel. I should have forewarned you, but I was tied up." "A straightforward excuse." "How can I help you, Admiral?" "I'd be grateful if you could study the thing and tell me what you know about it, date of manufacture and so on." "I'm flattered, sir. Why me?" "As chief curator for the Washington Museum's Hall of Music, you seemed the logical choice. Also, a mutual friend said that the world lost another Harry James when you decided to become a scholar." My God, Vogel thought. The president. Score another point for Sendecker. He knew the right people. "That's debatable," Vogel said. "I'd rather not say. My people would like your opinions entirely without prompting or direction on our part." "You want to compare my findings with yours, is that it?" Sendecker's voice carried sharply through the earpiece. "We want you to confirm our hopes and expectations, Mr. Vogel, nothing more." "I shall do my best, Admiral. Goodbye." "Good luck." Vogel sat for several minutes staring at the pillowcase in the corner, his hand resting on the telephone. Then he pressed the executone. "Mary, hold all calls for the rest of the day, and send out for a medium pizza with Canadian bacon and a half gallon of Gallo Burgundy." "You gonna lock yourself in that musty old workshop again?" Mary's voice scratched back. "Yes," Vogel sighed. "It's going to be a long day." First, Vogel took several photos of the cornet from different angles. Then he noted the dimensions, general condition of the visible parts, and the degree of tarnish and foreign matter that coated the surfaces, recording each observation in a large notebook. He regarded the cornet with an increased level of professional interest. It was a quality instrument. The brass was of good commercial grade, and the small bores of the bell and the valves told him that it was manufactured before 1930. He discovered that what he had thought to be corrosion was only a hard crust of mud that flaked away under light pressure from a rubber spoon. Next, he soaked the instrument in diluted Calgon water softener, gently agitating the liquid and changing the tank every so often to drain away the dirt. By midnight, he had the cornet completely disassembled. Then he started the tedious job of swabbing the metal surfaces with a mild solution of chromic acid to bring out the shine of the brass. Slowly, after several rinsings, An intricate scroll pattern and several ornately scripted letters began to appear on the bell. "By God," Vogel blurted out loud, "a presentation model." He picked up a magnifying glass and studied the writing. When he set the glass down and reached for a telephone, his hands were trembling.